You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. You know, usually we bring on people and they talk about demonstrations or you watch TV shows. I used to do one myself where we would tell members of the audience, do not try this at home. You know, the notices on car commercials and fine print that they say, professional driver on a closed course, do not attempt. Well, for the rest of this hour, we're going to talk about things that you can, and we hope possibly you should try on your own. Fun weekend projects for folks who like science and technology, or maybe inspiration for your kid's science fair. I can't tell you how many times people write to us and say, hey, have you got a project for my kid's science fair? Well, we're going to talk about all kinds of interesting things you can do at home with objects around your house that already exist, and you can just modify them, hack them, as they say in the business, or change real simple stuff. And joining me on this old lab are two people who know about doing it yourself. Cy Timoney is an author of the book Sneaky Uses for Everyday Things. There's a title, a guide to projects you can try on your own, like making milk into plastic. I'd like to try that. Philip Tarone, he's one of the editors of a new magazine called Make, Technology on Your Own Time. They've only published one issue so far, but it's filled with projects that might appeal to, shall we say, the more geeky among us, present company included. I'm waiting for the next issue. If you'd like to join us, our number 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK. As always, you can surf over to our website at sciencefriday.com. Let me ask my guests, first of all, welcome to the program, gentlemen. Hi, how are you? Cy, you're author of Sneaky Uses for Everyday Things. Let me start by asking you, give me one of your favorite projects, something that's going to whet the appetite of my listeners in your book.
Well, I have a project where you can turn a penny into a radio.
Ooh.
It's based on the old crystal radio making idea, where in the past we used to make crystal radios out of wire and a crystal or a diode and an earphone piece. But for my book, Sneaky Uses for Everyday Things, I wanted to have it so that you can make things with real everyday things around the house. And a diode or crystal really isn't an everyday thing per se, so I figured out a way to take a needle and a penny and make that into a diode. And with that and a piece of telephone wire and an earphone that you ordinarily have, you can make a radio out of it.
You know, I tantalized everybody, I hope, by talking about how to turn milk into sneaky plastic.
Yes.
Why would we want to do that?
Oh, for many reasons. You might have a like a battery clip cover or something that you need to replace. Or you may want to make some crafts, or you just may have milk that's gone bad and you can still use it. Basically, milk has plastic in it called casein, and by bringing it to a simmer and adding a little bit of vinegar to it, it'll rise to the top and you can pour it through a strainer.
Mm-hmm.
It'll clump up just like a Play-Doh, and you can shape it into any shape you want, and after about 3 days, it's hard as plastic, because it is plastic.
Wow. Phil, tell us about, you're the associate editor of Make, Technology on Your Own Time. Interesting book, the premier issue out by O'Reilly. Give us your favorite project in this premier book.
Well, I think one of the ones that people like the most is the $14 video camera stabilizer. So you can construct your own out of some stuff that you can find around the house or at the hardware store for under $14 and have a video stabilizer that's almost as good as the $10,000 one, so you can mount your video camera to it and run around and shoot video. And a lot of people like that. When they picked up the magazine, they started making these things and posting the video, and the results were great.
So you have like what they call a Steadicam in the business.
Yep. Yep.
You can make your own Steadicam. There was also an interesting thing on flying a kite, I think it was, and taking pictures from way up there.
Yeah, that's one of the things that there's a really big community around it. And until I think Make came out, it was kind of difficult to figure out how to get into it, and if you didn't want to spend thousands and thousands of dollars. And so we basically show how to take a disposable camera and with some wood and some string and some silly putty, basically make your own timer, and you can take aerial photography, aerial photos from just about anywhere. And again, this is one of those ones where people, it's one of those weekend projects that you can do with your kids, or you can you know, go to a park or whatever, and it's a great project.
Yeah, that's one of your cover stories. I have to admit that when I was a teenager, that was one of my favorite projects to try. They used to do these things with little model rockets, to, you know, send up and go up a few hundred feet. I think Popular Electronics in those days would try to show you how to send a, you know, camera up there and take a picture. But you guys have a lot more interesting and geeky stuff. Do you have to know how to work a soldering iron to do these projects or anything special, or is it basically common knowledge that'll work for you?
You don't have to know how to use a soldering iron, but we actually show, we have a whole section on how to get into soldering.
Yeah.
So we figured that was a good thing to start folks out with. But most of these you don't really need to do too much. It's a lot of nuts and bolts, and if you can use a wrench and a screwdriver, you're pretty much set. And then we have things that are, you know, more for the advanced side. So we try to cover the entire spectrum so everyone can do something.
1-800-989-8255. If you've got a question about a sort of an interesting project, a do-it-yourself at home project with gadgets. Philip, give us another idea of another top pick in your magazine.
Well, one of the ones that I like is the magnetic stripe reader. You know, we all use credit cards. We all have ATM cards and these gift cards that we get at Amazon or Starbucks or whatever. But did you ever wonder what's on them?
Yeah.
You ever wonder? Yeah, exactly.
Is there secret stuff in there?
And you know what? It turns out there is. And we show you how to, figures. It turns out there is secret stuff. And sometimes there's stuff that I don't really know if I want on there, like your address or phone number. You know, there's information on there, social security number. There's all different types of information that different companies put on these cards, depending on the type of card. And so we show you how to make one of these magnetic stripe readers. One use that I like. My wife and I, we have Starbucks cards, and instead of having two separate cards and trying to keep the balance on each one of our cards, I cloned my own card. So we both have the same exact card, and my card, I made it look different. So it's just like a black card with a black stripe on the back. So get the reaction at Starbucks is always fun because it doesn't look like a real Starbucks card.
Are you saying that once you can read it, you can hack it so that you can put information back on the card?
Well, you can make your own. You could put information back on it, but it doesn't do anything useful.
Yeah.
You know, at least nothing that we've published yet.
I'm laughing. But then you could actually make an own. You could put a card reader on your front door and have people who want to enter, you know, have to wipe their own card on it.
Absolutely. In fact, that's one of the things that we get asked about a lot. People really like the idea of making their own locking and unlocking system. One person that we just posted this on our website, someone implanted their own RFID tag just so they can open up their car doors. And I thought that was a fun project. I don't think we'll do that, but it was definitely an interesting project. And there's a whole entire community of people out there just building weird things. And this is kind of why we thought the magazine was, a long time coming.
You know, there might be a lot of people who say, why are you building this stuff? I think the answer to that is if you have to ask, you don't know, you know, right? Would you agree with that, Cy?
Yeah, in my book, I try to make it so that the theme is make the most of what you have and you can do more than you think. I have science projects in it, but also it covers security, like the card reader, survival, and sometimes just trivia, like it shows how to test counterfeit money. You know, a lot of times we'll get these new bills that look weird, and you want to have a simple way to just verify it. You can look at the stripe on the inside and all that, but actually real currency has iron in the ink, and all it takes is a magnet. And I show in the book and on the website, sneakyuses.com, there's a picture of how to take a magnet and test your own currency in a real simple way. And also, as far as radios, a lot of people didn't know that you can take a typical AM/FM radio and turn one screw in it, and you can pick up aircraft broadcasts. You can listen to tower broadcasts, tower-to-air broadcasts, just by turning a screw in any simple AM/FM radio. So there's a lot of things that you might want to do, either for science projects reasons or survival. I have a section, and I've always at the website also put a lot of great stories about people who've used resourcefulness to save lives. I mean, in World War II, they actually made an entire airplane inside of a prison overlooking a town, and they made that out of their bed parts from their bed and their sheets and sleeping bags.
Mm-hmm. Great. It's a great topic. Let me go to the phones. Tony in Oakland, California. Hi, Tony.
Hi. I just pulled down one of those little satellite dishes from a house I've got, and I don't know if there's anything I can do with it. It looks so cool, and it looks like, you know, I could pick up some sort of signal, but what can I do with it?
Gentlemen? What do you do with that? Well, you know, they basically throw them out when you're done with them. So what can you do with old satellite dishes?
Well, you know, the thing I might attempt to do with it is to make it into a Wi-Fi booster. If you have a wireless access point in your house and you want to, say, share it with your neighbors, you could perhaps use it to beam that signal around. That might be something good.
Okay. We'll wait for the next edition.
Thank you.
You know, and just to get it to the other side of your house in many cases.
Yeah, sometimes they're not that strong.
but that is sort of the art, I guess, of this art is finding things that you don't think, you know, have any use and finding something to do with them. Why throw it out?
Mm-hmm.
And there's all kinds
so
of stuff lying around.
And
there's all the stuff lying around. You have another edition coming out, a second edition of this book coming out?
Yeah, in the fall, in October, there'll be one called Sneakier Uses for Everyday Things. I just wrapped that up, and they're creating the cover and everything. And that one, I show how to turn a calculator into a metal detector, how to make an entire survival kit and fit it into your shoestrings or your shoelaces, and how to turn dishwashing liquid into a copy machine, and how to make a gadget jacket with about 20 different things in a jacket that can pop out at a moment's notice.
Wow.
And all are practical, too.
Any new uses for microwave ovens? We have so many of them. They give off all this, you know, radiation. Can we tap into it and do something with it?
Well, you possibly can, but there's a little danger in that. Basically, that's why they have little precautions on the label. I mean, except for the aesthetic value and just using it as a case or a showcase. Some things you'd really do want to discard as far as at least the electronics of it, and that would be one thing.
Uh-huh. All right, 1-800-989-8255. Let's go to Chris in Eudora, Kansas. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Do you think this is the heralding of the return of the home shop, the backyard shop, the garage shop, the basement shop, that kind of shop?
Yeah, we miss those, don't we?
Well, basically, you can take advantage. If you know what you're doing, and like I say, I like Phillips Magazine. He has a good website at makezine.com, and a lot of projects posted there, and I try to have some at my site, too. Once you see how things are done, it's not too hard to get into the mood of looking at things differently and saying, you know, I could take this and this and do that with it in a safe kind of way. And eventually you can make something out of everything, and you can make your shop just about anywhere, even in a closet or spare room or basement.
Well, I've had plenty of those, but most of my training came from high school shop classes and junior high shop classes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that those are going to get more popular, because you don't hear about that in the curriculum anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, they're taken over by computers now. Mm-hmm. All right, thanks for calling. Good luck. Stay keep in your shop. Keep busy. Thanks, Chris.
That's where I usually listen to your program from.
Yeah, we should have everybody who listens in their shop give us an email. Send us an email.
Okay, bye.
And we'll send everybody once I get them going a slide rule, a pocket protector. we're talking about Do It Yourself this hour and Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. You also have Cy in your book, Make a Power Room Door Opener.
Yeah, a lot of times at Christmas time we get all these radio control toys, and
right.
Now they're as little as $5, little cars and things like that. So one of the things that you see in sci-fi TV shows and movies is when the door opens up automatically without
right.
you having to do anything. So I just, in the book Sneaky Uses for Everyday Things, I show how to take a little $5 radio control car and attach it to the bottom of a door. And this type, you can either use a wireless one or a wire type, and you can just press a button, and the car bottom will sort of drive the door open. And it's a nice little use, because sometimes kids or people step on the car and they think it has no more use anymore. But actually, it's actually another thing you can make out of the car, too. A lot of people don't know that a little electric motor that still might work in a car can actually act as a speaker. If you just put a cup next to that motor and you drive a signal through it, there's a mm-hmm. motor and coil in there, and you can actually hear sound through it, too. So you can make use of all sorts of toys and things around the house, too.
Philip, you have an interesting article on how to make a portable satellite radio.
Yeah. One of the things that we like to do is take some of the technologies that you see, like satellite radio, and then do something with it that goes along with what the manufacturer is doing. And often we found that the manufacturers sometimes they take a page from the hackers out there. And so the XM satellite radio, really neat thing. But a lot of people were like, wow, you know, I want to kind of take this on the road with me. I want it to just be outside my car, outside my home. So they went ahead and they put a antenna in the headphones of their, they have these big headphones and they have a battery pack and they wired it to the XM satellite radio. And there you go. You've got a portable satellite radio. And then, you know, last month, I think it was XM introduced the MiFi portable satellite radio. Now they've added things and, you know, there's no wires hanging out like ours. It has a hard drive and there's all sorts of good things that are polished on it. But, you know, you could take something that you already have and turn it into something that you can buy at twice the price.
Yeah, the gentleman called about what to do with the satellite dish, and I think, did you recommend extending the range of his Wi-Fi?
Yeah.
In your book, you show how to do that with some aluminum foil, if I think that's what I'm looking at. Just placing it behind it, sort of an airport Wi-Fi setup.
Is that in that might be in SizeBook, but we do have that.
No, I'm talking to you. Yeah, I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say.
No, I'm talking to you.
Yeah, absolutely. You can make a small dish, and you can definitely increase your range of your airport if you use a Mac, or that also works on PCs, or just about any Wi-Fi point. Those little things, you can make them directional. You can boost the signal by a little bit, or you can go out and buy, you know, a very expensive antenna and get the same results.
You know, I think there's a product, and I'm going to give away my pet idea for a product that could make somebody $1 billion. I'm surprised I haven't seen it. And this would be like a sign in your car. You know, you want to give people a message. You know, it's a moving, the numbers or letters move across the screen. And you put it on your windshield, and if you want to tell somebody something, you hook it to your iPod, or you hook it to your PDA, and now you've got a message that it's crowded, go back. You know, there's a jam up ahead or something like that. How come we haven't seen any of that kind of stuff yet?
Actually, I had that in a book. I wrote a book a long time ago called 99 Fun to Make Electronic Projects, and that was the first time they came out with digital LEDs, like where you could buy them at Radio Shack. I actually had that in my side mirror, and I wired it up, and you know how it looks like an 8, so to speak, the digital LED display. So I wired it up so I could say hi, bye, and, you know, a few words on there, and that way, you know, basically in the evening time, almost everybody pulls up to another car to stoplight or stop sign, and almost everybody has to look over for a second.
Right.
And I always want to take advantage of that. So, yeah, that's been done, and but to personalize it is a good idea. Yeah. Like you said, hook it up to your iPod, or you can also beam something by infrared over to somebody else and actually talk to them.
All right, stay with us, Cy Timoney and Philip Tarone. We'll be right back after the short break. More calls about doing it yourself this hour. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. We're talking this hour about geeky projects you can do yourself with a couple of great geeks. I think they'll take that as a badge of honor. Cy Timoney is author of the book Sneaky Uses for Everyday Things. Philip Tarone is one of the editors of a new magazine called Make Technology on Your Own. Gentlemen, are your books in bookstores? Are they available?
Yep. Yes. Yeah, but my book has been out since late 2003, and it's in its fifth printing. It's been very successful, and the second one will be out this fall. And I put a lot of free articles and little video clips on my site at sneakyuses.com, and there's a link to Philip's website there, too.
1-800-989-8255. Let's go to Suzanne in Rockford, Illinois. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi. Oh, God, I love the show. But anyways, I can't wait to buy that book, because that is something I do all the time, is just use things to do other things for things. And I know that, well, according to the Harvard president, women are not able to do scientific things.
Okay. Well, that was just his theory. But
that's his theory, but, you know, I've got a lot of tools, and I find bits and pieces and make different things out of them, and I love that. It's so much fun, and it's so good for the Earth to reuse things.
Yeah, in fact, that's another reason I did it. I loved that book a long time ago called 50 Simple Things You Could Do to Save the Earth. And
I read that.
Yeah, there's a good conservation message in my book, too, because what one person thinks is waste can actually be used and reused by other people. And But yeah, basically the book is available everywhere at all the major bookstores and Amazon.com, and there's a link at my site too. And that's one of the reasons I do a lot of events at schools and libraries to sort of teach conservationalism, but with sort of a colorful, more of a, instead of just collecting things and turning them in, it's like, well, we can keep using something. And that's the theme of Make Magazine also.
Suzanne, do you find it hard to find an appreciative audience for your talents?
Pardon me?
Do you find it hard to find an appreciative audience for your talents?
Oh, no. Actually, I work as a librarian in a middle school.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have the power to put messages out.
Mm-hmm.
And my boyfriend also appreciates the fact he's not allowed to use my power tools.
With you. You hate somebody wrecking the stuff, right?
Well, absolutely. He doesn't know how to use this stuff. And the thing is, I can make something out of anything. I only wish I knew how to weld.
There's a book, huh?
Yeah.
And I could really do something if I could take metal and make it into other things.
Philip, you can take lessons in welding, can't you?
Yeah, you can. Maybe we'll have something on the website.
Okay.
Just for you. Yeah, check magazine.com. I will definitely round up some resources for getting started with welding.
And I will definitely check out the website of your person there. I'm sorry, what's his name?
Cy Timoney.
Okay. I will definitely check out the website. Thank you so much, Ira. I love your show. It's the best thing on NPR.
Thank you. You've made my day.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 1-800-989-8255 is our number. Is there a project that both you guys would like to do, but you haven't gotten the stuff together yet, or something you'd like to tackle? Cy, you want to?
Well, that's why I did the second book. The first book, I had the things that I knew I could do at that time. And, of course, as you're being creative and you're experimenting, but then you're dealing with a deadline, there's some other things that you have in the back burner, and I pretty much put everything that I could in the other bigger projects in the second book, but it still has a theme of using everyday things and being safe and having a practical use of them too. So the main thing I wanted to make was how to make a metal detector with everyday things, and I finally figured out a way how to use a simple calculator and a radio to make a sort of a ersatz little metal detector, so you could wand something and see if there's metal inside.
Good.
So I was able to work that out too.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you and Phil. You know, we have a lot of old obsolete PCs lying around these days. What would be the best thing to do with them? I mean, you know, Philip, well, you don't want to, you know, throw them out. You waste that. It's not recycling. People, you know, collect them in their basements. Philip, you have an idea of what we might do with all these PCs lying around?
Yeah, never throw them out. They're fantastic media servers. You can put Linux on them. And it's not hard. It's not complicated at all. You know, when you mention Linux, a lot of people say, oh, like, you know, I don't know about that stuff. But you can just basically get a CD, pop it in, and change the computer to do one task, like serve out MP3s for your home. Or have it record TV. Even a really old PC can do a lot of great stuff. We have a lot of examples on our website, and we'll have a lot of examples in the next issue, of taking an older PC and having it do just one task and one task really well. In fact, lots of versions of Linux ship a CD that basically formats the drive, turns it into something, and then you plug it in, and then you're set. Mm-hmm. So turning those old PCs into appliances is something that definitely never throw one away. There's a lot of great uses for them.
Cy, you agree?
Yeah, and another great use, like he said, by using Linux is to make an actual physical firewall, because security is a very big concern. And you can use software firewalls on your own computer, but basically, like Phil knows, you can make a print server, firewall, a file server, like you said, a music server, all sorts of things, so that and these old, so-called old PCs are very powerful, because what was old a long time ago is so powerful now that we're so spoiled with these $499 brand new computers that are 2 gigahertz, you know, right out of the box, that our old PCs are very, very powerful.
You have in your book 6 ways of making fire.
Mm-hmm.
But method 6 was the most fascinating, because I've heard the other 5 ways, more or less. But you can make fire with water. How do you do that?
Well, if you're a little lucky, You can take water and make fire. You can say if you have the bottom a little bit of water in the bottom of a water bottle, or if you have a paper clip and you turn it into a you bend it into like a big circle, so to speak, and you dip it into some water. You can actually shine light through it, or sunlight, on a real sunny day. And actually, if you have some tinder material, just some dried up leaves or lint or whatever, you can actually start a fire by using water as a magnifying lens.
Wow, that's interesting.
And that, like you said, that's one of the six ways I show how to make fire, and none of them involving using matches, just in case. Not that you would not that you will do all the projects, but it's interesting for trivia reasons and just to pique the curiosity.
Win an argument, Don.
Win an argument, yeah.
Let's go to Jeff in Jacksonville, Florida. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Hi, go ahead.
A couple quick things. One, can you make sure that there's a link to both these sites? I'm driving, so I can't.
We'll have them on Science. They're up on sciencefriday.com in case you can't, you know, you forget. They're always up there.
That's perfect. Second, have the two authors ever heard of a book called Junkbots, Bugbots, and Other Robots? Other Microbots?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great book. Highly recommended if you want to look for what to do with your old VCR and the old motors and making small robots if you're into that. Mm-hmm. Used to run an after school program for that at my school.
Oh.
And then third, the another use for old computers. I've taken three or four of them and networking them together, putting Linux on them, and making them a game internet work for kids to play on.
Oh.
And it works really well.
Mm-hmm. Wow, multitasking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, that's terrific.
No problem. Thanks for my call.
Don't drive off the road. Thank you.
1-800-989-8255.
Let's see if we can get as many calls in about things to do. Let's go to Mark in Grand Rapids. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Great topic. This would be a great topic for a regular program. I just picked up a copy of the Sneaky Books last week, and it's got some great projects in it. I have a question. What kind of projects could you do with old VCRs?
Yeah, boat anchors.
You know, I know that there's and I think this will probably be coming up in one of our future issues, you can make a dog food feeder with a VCR, a time dog food feeder. So if you want to just stay tuned for the next issue of Make, that'll probably appear in there soon. But that's the first one that came into my mind.
Well, like I see, so there's an ejection. You got the thing, it ejects the VCR. Where it would be ejecting? Dog food would come out at a certain time to record. All right, I'm getting the picture. But that's an interesting idea.
It also makes a very long-term audio recorder, too, so mm-hmm. that if you want to tape Science Fridays and many other NPR shows, and you run out of tape on a typical recorder, can only tape, you know, 30 minutes or 45 minutes with a 90-minute tape, you can use a long-playing tape, like an 8-hour tape, to tape 8 hours of audio, too.
Yeah, that's true. It's high quality. It's FM radio quality. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, I do that. Actually, that's a great idea. On the EP mode, you can record 6 hours if you have a hi-fi VCR. It's a great audio recorder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another. Oh, thanks for calling.
Well, thank you, Ira.
You're welcome. You. Anything to do with old, you know, old CDs that don't burn or coasters? You know, anything creative except using them for coasters?
You can make a. You can make a capacitor out of them to
right.
tune a radio if you needed to. And the CD case, as a matter of fact, I use that in my metal detector project. I use the CD case, since it swivels, to make a metal detector, you basically put a calculator, say with Velcro strips on one side, and a little radio on the other, and you turn on the radio in between stations. Turn on the calculator. The calculators emit a little signal coming out of them, a little tone. And by placing them up against objects, they'll reflect. The tone will so-called reflect off, and the radio will pick that up. So that's the way to use at least the CD case.
Hmm.
You can also use the CD case to make a teleprompter if you wanted to get a few of them and have it reflect up from a LCD monitor or monitor, and it'll actually let you see through the CD case and let you see words scroll by.
Philip, in your book you have something called DIY Cars, Urban Camouflaging
That's right.
your car. Tell us.
Well, you know, there's a lot of things that you can put on your car to make it appear like a different type of car. You can put stickers on it. You can put a push bumper, police-style spotlights. You know, you can put a funeral sign on it, a fire extinguisher. There's all sorts of things that you can do to basically make your car look more official without it being official.
And maybe get in a garage some places.
Exactly. You know, just if you're bold and you just pull into the spot where you're not supposed to, and you have this this vehicle with all the hazard lights and the flashing on it and a fire extinguisher, you know, oh, he has a fire extinguisher. Of course he should park there.
All legal.
All legal.
That's amazing. We're talking about being the consummate geek this hour and Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. Yeah, I looked at this car and it looks very official. And if you get enough stuff to smash and plash on it, people will. If you look like you know what you're doing, they assume you know what you're doing.
Exactly. And then we also have some stickers that you can put on there. Omnitech, technology is everywhere. You know, these type of a speedy delivery and has a little picture of a turtle on it. Mm. You know, all sorts of things like that.
Joel in Oregon, welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, thanks for having the call. I love the show.
Thank you.
Quick comment. A friend of mine swears by going to Goodwill, and they have this like a distribution center near here, and he just buys computer components by the pound. And, you know, what works, works, and what doesn't, doesn't. And he puts whole computers together and, you know, has a great time for really cheap.
Goodwill, yeah. Because that's where people bring their computers to die.
Seriously, it's a computer graveyard, and sometimes those things can have a whole new life.
Well, let me ask my guest, is Goodwill and places like this a good place to shop for parts or anything?
Yeah, sure. like the other caller a while back said that he what's a good use for older computers, and Goodwill is a good source for them. And one simple use for having an extra older computer around is to, like the other caller mentioned about setting them up for games, is that to prevent you from running certain things on your main computer for work, run them on a separate computer, you know, load games and demos and go to certain websites on a different, computer, and leave your own computer as clean as possible, so to speak, and separate it from any possible viruses and worms and all that kind of stuff.
Because you could just clean it off, you know, clean the disk off and start over again if you had to.
Right, at your leisure.
I only have a short time left. Let me ask each one of you, what are we going to expect to see in the future? Cy, you want to tell us a glimpse into the future?
Well, the more things we have around us, the more possibilities there are. And yet, sometimes, you know, people get stuck in the wilderness and their iPod batteries go out, their headphone batteries go out. Sometimes you need to know the most basic things about survival and how to use the things that are in your pocket or built onto your jacket and things like that to survive. Or you may just want to entertain young people and get them interested in science. So the more things that we have, I mean, just 5 years ago, little kids didn't have iPods and cell phones and PDAs and things like that. So the possibilities are just endless.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of your stuff has to do with survival in your book. How to get water out of a plant, for example, with a plastic bag.
Yep, how to extract water from thin air just in case. So, you know, the book deals with fun things, science projects, security, and survival. All the major reasons, and fun, too, that you'd want to adapt things into other things.
Philip?
Well, you know, I think there's millions of people out there right now that are growing up with gigs of storage and iPods and all these things and cell phones. And the thing is, they haven't unlocked them yet. They're just starting to. And I think that's why books like Size and Make Magazine is they're becoming really popular right away. So from learning how to put Linux on your iPod for recording to making your own ringtone so you don't have to buy them, you know, all those types of things that, you know, entire generations grew up with AM radios and they went on to build the cell phone networks. What will the generation of today with iPods and fast computers build, you know, once they start tinkering?
But we're talking about tinkering, bringing back tinkering again instead of just sitting there on a keypad.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In other words, then moving from that software generation back to the hardware people who used to tinker like one of our listeners said in their garage. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for taking time to talk with us, and good luck to you. We look forward to your next books.
And thank you for having us, Ira.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Ira.
You're welcome. Cy Timoney is author of the book Sneaky Uses for Everyday Things, A Guide to Projects You Can Try on Your Own. And Philip Terone is one of the editors of the new magazine called Make Technology on Your Own Time. And you can surf over to our website if you want any more of the links and you missed where to find those books or any of the other stuff on Science Friday. Quick note, next week we're going to be taking the show on the road. We're going to be guests of WFSU in Tallahassee, Florida. So if you're in Tallahassee or in the environs, you're welcome to be part of the audience. If you want to come by, and tickets are free, check sciencefriday.com, go to our website at sciencefriday.com, and come and sit in the audience and be part of a Science Friday in Tallahassee next week. Kevin Wade is our technical director. Our audio engineers are Matt Galick and Paul Masiello in New York. Greg Smith composed our theme music. And we had help today from NPR librarians Kim Molesky and Alphonse Finn. As I say, you can surf over to our website at sciencefriday.com. Also send us email there or go classic mail to Science Friday, 55 West 45th Street, 4th floor, New York, New York, 10036. And also at sciencefriday.com, Science Friday's Kids Connection. Oh, kids, gonna hope they'll enjoy the material we're going to make out of this show on free curricula for teaching Science Friday. We'll see what comes out of these geeky do-it-yourself sort of things. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week from Tallahassee. I'm Ira Flato in New York.